So this morning, it kind of a chronicle of what exactly is happening with the environment. First of all, a natural disaster last Friday with an earthquake that causes tsunami, and then in some ways a man-made disaster as those natural events affected the nuclear power plants in Japan. The inner environment of the Earth's crusts actually moved the island of Honshu more than 8 feet in a matter of seconds. We're getting reports from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory that it actually shifted the Earth's axis by 6.5 inches, and that may have also accelerated our planet's rotation. Amazing forces at work. To talk about that and other things, we have Arthur Lerner-Lamb with us, interim director of the Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory at Columbia University, and also still with us, Robert Hernan, author of This Borrowed Earth, Lessons from the 15 Worst Environmental Disasters Around the World. Arthur, let me first try and understand the kind of event which, as they say, a geophysicist are saying, shifted the Earth's axis. How does that work?
Well, what happens in an event this size is, as you reported, the Earth's crust actually can move several feet. And that redistributes the mass of the Earth's crust around the Earth's axis of rotation. So whenever you redistribute mass like that, the axis can shift to accommodate that redistribution. So it's a natural phenomenon that can be calculated.
And I'm wondering if, with all the earthquake activity that we've seen leading up to this, are there cycles? I mean, we get such a tiny little glimpse of geologic time in our own lifetimes. Is something serious and significant going on with the entire Earth?
Well, that's sort of an astute observation that, there's really a difference between geologic cycles in our own lifetimes. But over the last century or so, we've been getting a magnitude 8.5 to 9 event about once per year on average. That said, since 2004 in the Indian Ocean Sumatra earthquake, there has been an uptick in these very, very large events. But that's not really statistically significant, taken over 100 years or so.
And Robert Hernan, when we're talking about these kind of events and what you talk about in your book are environmental disasters, the geological event in and of itself, can we already classify that as a disaster? I mean, or is this kind of a cyclical nature of what the Earth does as it shifts and moves?
Well, it's interesting. Bill McKibben, in the introduction of my book, said I make a distinction between natural disasters and environmental disasters. And Bill McKibben says that distinction is going to get wiped out fairly soon with climate change issues. We may not be there yet, but we certainly – I think there's a consensus growing that there's going to be more extreme events and more intense extreme events naturally occurring as a result of the warming of the climate. Mm-hmm. And so there may be a merging of these kind of environmental and natural disasters.
But that's not what we're talking about here. The earthquake that caused by the shifting of the Earth's crusts, that's not related to climate change.
No. But the consequences of that is an environmental disaster because it's going to contaminate the area for a long period of time.
And concentrations of energy sources means that there are more vulnerable spots on the Earth to earthquakes that might occur, which is what happened here.
Yes. Correct.
Arthur Lerner-Lamb, we're also getting reports from the Japanese Seismological Institute, which is one of the best in the world, that they're expecting. There's a 7 in 10 chance that we're going to get another major earthquake coming up in the days ahead. What measures do they use to predict that?
Well, basically what they're saying, whenever you have a large earthquake like this, basically the Earth's crust tries to readjust. Stresses are relieved, but just as you sit down on a soft couch and you sort of readjust your body to try to get comfortable, the Earth is trying to get comfortable with a new distribution of stress. And so that can load up faults that are nearby to the earthquake fault that just ruptured, and that can precipitate new events.
And are we then able to kind of predict with relative accuracy, since we're looking particularly at that area, what kind size of earthquake that would be and what the effects would be?
Well, the real word we use is a probabilistic forecast, which basically means that we cannot predict the time and place, but we can say that over this geographic area over the next 30 days or so, there's a heightened possibility of activity. That enables us to get better prepared for what might come.
Okay, but in the geographic area, how large a size are you talking about? And in what way are these fault lines that kind of crisscross back and forth beneath the Pacific Ocean connected? I mean, could they be feeling effects in California or in other coasts?
Well, that's not likely. The main area of concern right now is northern Honshu and the area just north of Tokyo. But, you know, those are places that are connected in the sense that they are feeling this redistribution of stress. But faults in California, faults in South America really are not connected in that sense to the event in Japan.
Arthur Lerner-Lamb, Interim Director of the Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory at Columbia University. And still with us all this hour, Robert Hernan, and author of This Borrowed Earth, Lessons from the 15 Worst Environmental Disasters.
What are we
going to
do? What are we going to do, Bob?
What are we going to do?
How do we be vigilant? What do we take away?
I think we'd be very careful with nuclear power. And certainly studies are showing that energy efficiency can reduce, if not eliminate, the need for new nuclear power plants. And I think people recognize that going nuclear is a lot different than going oil, and that oil spills, as devastating as they are, don't compare to nuclear. Even our language talks about that. If you talk about somebody who's oily or greasy, you know, they're unpleasant, you want to hang around with them, but they're not dangerous. You talk about somebody going nuclear like Charlie Sheen, and it's dangerous and scary, and you don't want to go near them.
And yet the recent push towards nuclear energy is part of the desire to move away from fossil fuels, to be more environmentally safe.
Yes, I'm saying that's nice, but there's a lot more safer ways of moving away from fossil fuel and decarbonizing an economy through solar and energy wave, tidal, and wind energy, which is a lot safer.
But we're stuck with the reactors we've got now, right?
We're stuck with the ones we've got now, sure, just like we're still going to go with deep oil. But I think in the long term, we're talking 20, 40 years from now, and you start planning ahead with those power plants in 30, 40-year cycles, do we really want to go down nuclear at this stage, given what we're seeing here?
And your answer is no.
Not my view. Unless you put out in a desert with the paranoid running it. Then it might be safe.
Well, as we were discussing yesterday, there are serious economic disincentives to going with nuclear because of the precautions and the costs of those precautions.
Absolutely. And the fact that some things are simply not controllable. Yeah. Robert Hernan, author of This Borrowed Earth, Lessons from the 15 Worst Environmental Disasters Around the World.
Do you know how close you are to the nuclear facility that provides power for you? Go to our map at the takeaway.org for a complete map of all the reactors in the United States and their proximity to population centers. One of our listeners put herself in the Japanese's shoes this morning, trying to get clarity amidst so many conflicting reports.
This is Charlie in Tennessee. I'm confused. First, they tell us that within a 20-kilometer radius, there's danger. Outside of that, there's no danger. Now they tell us 100 miles away to stay indoors if there's rain, snow, sleet. What's the truth? Where is the danger? Where does it end?
Feeling like a very small planet this morning. If you have a story to share, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE, and we want to hear your personal stories on the devastation in Japan. If you're from there, contact us at thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headley. Special thanks to Robert Hernan, who is with us all this hour. This is The Takeaway.